This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Welcome back, 3 o'clock hour. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, Josh Vernier coming your direction at 5:30. A little bit early tonight, comes on at 5:30. Of course, Noah Cameron, stand up St. Joe. Noah Cameron pitching tonight for the Kansas City Royals. So, Rob, I said that I think Harrison Butker has been the best move for Brett Veach. And you can throw in draft picks, I guess, if you want. I'm more thinking of going out and getting somebody like you got Butker off the practice squad for the Panthers. This guy, the best kicker in the National Football League, a guy that you wouldn't have three rings in the Mahomes era without Harrison Butker, the top-paid player at his position. What's a better one? Is it – all right, Charvarius Ward, all right, was on with the Cowboys, right? And he flips Parker Anger in a trade and brings in Charvarius Ward. Undrafted guy, Charvarius Ward, did well here, won a ring, goes to the 49ers, gets a big contract. Now he's with the Indianapolis Colts at this point. But what other kind of moves do you think would you pin and say, this has been a Brett Veach move, Rob? I'm curious because text line, I said, no, that's not Brett Veach. And so I sent a message back and said, well, tell me one that's better. Again, you can say draft picks you want, but I think everything's encompassing. What moves do you make that you bring in? Maybe they think it's getting Orlando Brown. And a lot of people didn't like Orlando, but pick 58 came with that and it brought in Nick Bolton. So maybe you can throw that in there, but that I say be a top three of each move.
I mean, I would say it's the draft pick of Trent McDuffie, and I don't think it's really close. I think Trent McDuffie's Brett Veach, shining moment of greatness. So I would say draft counts because that's Brett Veach's job. You don't get to pick and choose. So I would say it's Trent McDuffie, and then I would probably say Rashee Rice in the draft is probably in that conversation. I would say Karlaftis in that conversation as far as best moves. I would also say Tyrann Mathieu is in the conversation for best move he made if you're talking about free agency, because Tyrann Mathieu kind of changed the culture of this defense.
I would say that's
probably the grouping I would create. Like if I was creating a top three or like a Mount Rushmore, that's kind of the grouping. I would say Orlando Brown's also in that. I would agree with you. Orlando Brown definitely has a conversation to make because he was he was probably the best starting left tackle the Chiefs have had in the last 5 years because at the end of Eric Fisher. So, yeah, I think that's the grouping.
I think sometimes you have to look at moves and maybe you think, okay, it's about planning long-term to sign Mahomes.
I'd also say for real quick, part of the Trent McDuffie move is the fact that they traded Tyreek Hill to go get the picks. Like that.
Oh, yeah.
The trading Tyreek Hill might be one because you get Trent McDuffie as part of the haul, if that makes sense.
One, it schooled the Bills, remember? Because they ended up getting – they wanted McDuffie. But they jumped ahead of Bean and the Bills. Remember that? And they ended up with Kyir Elam, which is not even on the team anymore. They wanted McDuffie. So, yeah, you can put that in there. I did my top five Veach defensive backs a couple weeks ago when I was with Cody or when I was with Alex. They're like top five defensive backs ever. I put Badger way up there, too, because he was the culture change. Because I remember Dusty and I sitting in here one night, and the Chiefs hadn't really done anything. They go out and they get the Honey Badger to come in here. That really signified the change. The Orlando Brown thing, you can say what you want on it, because I know there was a lot of angst with Orlando Brown, but the Chiefs did not have a left tackle. They didn't. And they wanted Trent Williams. They wanted Trent Williams bad, but he decided to stay with the 49ers. But he was a free agent. They went all the way to 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and they wanted Trent Williams, which would have been a coup. That would have been perfect for the Kansas City Chiefs to Trent Williams, no doubt about it. So they were stuck. So what Veach did is he traded one of his biggest rivals, because at that point it was the up-and-coming Baltimore Ravens. He traded them for their left tackle, and he brought him in, and he got picked 58, which Brett Veach said the second and third round are the hot zones. He called them the hot zones. So he gets picked 58, turns in Nick Bolton, who ended up leading the NFL in tackles right after that. So, yeah, you got a left tackle. You can love Orlando Brown or hate him, but they had to have him, and they want to ring with him. But they had to have a left tackle, and they got one from a rival. So that's definitely a top three Veach move in my mind. Orlando Brown and getting, especially because you had to consider Nick Bolton part of that deal, or to me that's a top three move. But Butker, you're talking about a guy that's made clutch kicks. You don't have those three rings with Mahomes if you don't have Harrison Butker. Top paid player in position. This dude was on the Panthers practice squad. But they've throughout the draft process and the combines and everybody talking about kickers, he was on the radar. And Veach noticed him. Dave Tobe noticed him. And when he became available, they're like, you know what? Let's go poach Harrison Butker. And they haven't looked back since. He's one of the best kickers in NFL history. But to me, that was his first big move. That was his first bold move. And that's definitely, whether you want to say it's one or not, I consider that his top move. But I definitely consider that a top three Brett Veach move since he's been here. You can talk about that because, well, it's a dynasty. He was a GM of a dynasty that deserves being talked about. And he's got my favorite quote ever in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs when he held up that Lombardi after Super Bowl 57 when they beat the Eagles. He held it up and said, this is what a rebuild looks like. Because that's when he had Nozzie Johnson in the seventh round playing special teams in the postseason. Jalen Watson. His leading rusher was Isaiah Pacheco from the seventh round. But yeah, holding that trophy up and says, this is what a rebuild looks like. To me, that's his best quote ever. But yeah, the Butker move I'd consider to be his top move. So Brady, as we know, the GOAT, even though I think things could be a lot closer if certain games go, you know, like the fact of Mahomes getting the ball in overtime, Dee Ford's not offsides, the Brady game. Of course, Chiefs didn't get the in the postseason. The rules were different. It wasn't until the Bills didn't get their chance they changed the rules. But don't forget, Tom Brady beat Mahomes with the old rules. That's a ring for Tom Brady. They played head-to-head in the Super Bowl. Didn't go like it did in the regular season. That was a huge swing in rings between Mahomes and Brady. But they're real close, man. They're real close as far as being tied 5-5 in rings, in my opinion, to be honest with you. But anyway, Tom Brady was in he was doing a podcast with Kevin Hart, the comedian Kevin Hart. They do it from a bathtub. I don't know if you've seen this, Rob, but they like a cold tub. And so Kay Adams is going to ask Mahomes about these comments, but this is what Tom Brady had to say. Now, keep in mind, this audio comes from a dude in a cold tub.
Who do you feel has the biggest opportunity in today's game to possibly duplicate a version of history? Like, do you feel
Patrick.
Patrick. Do you like Patrick?
Sure. Well, I just think Patrick, I love his mentality. And he's a guy that I see so... The great players that I played with, Patrick has their mentality.
Okay.
He has a will to win. He's got a desire every time he takes the field to be a great leader. And even more than his physical skill, what I always do with the guys, I listen to what they say all the time. I listen to what they say after they win. I listen to what they say after they lose. I listen to how they communicate to their teammates and stuff. So it's just everything he says is the right thing. It's like, I think, okay, how would I answer that? And then he answers it in a very similar way. And that's what I really appreciate, because I know he's really connected with his teammates. So he's got a great organization, and he's got a great coach, great general manager, great ownership, and they've got the parts around him. So I think he still has the best.
I like that.
Succeed.
So there you go. It's a high praise from the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, partial owner of the Raiders. By the way, the text line, 913-586-7965, saying, why isn't the Mahomes trade with the Bills to draft Patrick Mahomes the number one move by Brett Veach. Well, we know Veach was very active in that. He's the one that scouted Mahomes. He was a scout for the Chiefs. John Dorsey, general manager, when they made the decision to move up and draft Patrick Mahomes. So I can't pin that and say, all right, this is one of Brett Veach's top moves, because it took the general manager, which wasn't Brett at the time, it was John Dorsey. Now, was he instrumental in it? 100% so, but I got to label that with Dorsey. So anyway, that's what Brady said in the cult. Hey, it's Patrick Mahomes. It's Patrick. Tom Brady can say whatever the hell he wants. He's earned that right. He can say whether he likes somebody, hates somebody, he believes them or not, because he's the greatest of all time, and that's just what guys do now. And he can say whatever the hell he wants. He labels Patrick Mahomes there. So anyway, the newest edition of Up and Adams with Kay Adams, which, by, you like Kay Adams, Rob? I know she's a Missouri,
gal. But I don't watch her show, but she does have a plethora of NFL guests.
Oh, she does.
It has value for what we do, but she does. I don't seek it out, if that makes sense.
She does, and she's more of a rah-rah person, so someone could come on there and like crap on the Chiefs or whatever, and she'd probably giggle and laugh with them. That's just who she is. She's considered any guest. She's not real critical on anybody. She pretty much praises everybody. Anyway, regardless, this is when Adams pressed Mahomes, just came out today on our podcast, about the receiving that praise from Tom Brady. How is he dealing with that?
Tom Brady had this incredible thing to say about how if he had to pick one person to sort of pass what he was able to do, it is you. He could have said nobody. No, I don't see anybody able to do that. You're in year 9, which is wild.
Yeah.
Wild since you were drafted. How much more do you think about your legacy now as 30 approaches, as year 9 is here?
I think there's always in the back of your mind, even from the beginning of my career. But at the end of the day, it's about taking it a day by a time. A day and a day, just continuing to do that. And that's something that I've been conscious of knowing that how blessed I am to be in Kansas City, have all these great players around me, and having Tom, a guy like that, say that, I mean, it just motivates me even more. And I've actually talked to Tom a good amount this off season, and it's cool that he wants to give me advice. You know, he didn't have to be like that. He's such a good dude, and I have so much respect for him, and I'll take any advice he gives me.
What does he say to you? What's the best advice?
I gotta keep the secrets, you know. But he always talks about being yourself. He thinks that, which I truly believe too, is that guys can spot when you're not authentic and you're not putting in the work. And that's something that he did every single day. That's why guys respected him so much. And that's all I'm going to do for the rest of my career. And I feel like I've done so far is I'm always myself. No matter if you like me or if you don't like me, you know that I'm giving everything I can to win the football games.
See, that was a good question there by Kay. All right, so what is it? What is it that Brady's told you? It's great, you know, when players talk to each other is one thing, but she kept pressing him there. What'd he tell you? And he wouldn't say, hey, it's a secret, which it should be that way. You're just between Tom and Patrick. And here's the thing. Brady doesn't have to give praise or advice, as I've said. He's the greatest of all time. He can do whatever the hell he wants. But the other thing is Mahomes doesn't have to take it either. He didn't have to take anything anybody says. He's 3-time Super Bowl MVP. He doesn't have to listen. But the fact he does listen means everything. You hear about these legends that come back and try to help certain players around the league, whether it's baseball, football, whatever it is. And it goes in one ear and out the other, and they don't take that advice. They don't heed that advice. And they think they're where they're at because of their own ability, which typically they are, but you need something to perpetuate that ability. And for Patrick to listen to somebody else when, think about it, he doesn't have to listen to anybody. I mean, he's built his own empire. He's built his own name in this game. This guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer before he even turns 30 years old. That's insanity. Because you look at these other guys like Drew Brees and Rodgers and all these other great quarterbacks and Brady, that all of them put their – Steve Young, all of them had their best seasons, 30s and beyond. I mean, they built Hall of Fame careers from what they did from 30 years old on. That's the amazing thing for Patrick Mahomes is he built all this stuff before he even turned 30. He hasn't hit his quarterback prime. Yeah, for other players, you know, they typically fall – the wheels fall off when they hit 30. Not quarterbacks, man. Not quarterbacks, so that's when they process everything, learn everything. But the fact that he takes that advice, I think that means something. But I think the best thing that he said there was he said he took the advice about, and he did share this. He said, the advice from Brady, be authentic. Be who you are. And that's what I think separates Mahomes, is you have to be authentic. And as a quarterback, I know it sounds silly or whatever. And you know, these combine questions that they used to ask, they kind of get thrown out when they'd ask, how much you like football? Which they still get around to that. You can't ask the direct questions like you used to be able to with the new rules. But there's a reason why they ask that, because all the guys that are retiring at 29, 30 years old and whatever it is, like how much you love the sport. And I think the head coach of Cal, when he came on during the draft weekend with Chris and I for character concerns, he was Noel Williams' coach in college. He says there's two type of guys. Those that like being a football player because they like what comes with it, like the riches, the recognition you get. And the second type of guy, which is likes to play the game of football, enjoys the sport, enjoys showing up early, leaving late, learning about the game from the best, taking that knowledge and imparting it. Two types of guys. There's always two types with anything you do. Two types of people. Well, Mahomes is a guy that is authentic. And going down to Camp Pat, going down to Texas, having the guys hang out with them. I mean, not even stars. Mahomes doesn't have first rounders and stuff like that. No, it's second rounders, fourth rounders, undrafted guys. Those are his dudes, man. Like, he doesn't forget where he came from. And that's the most important thing, because a lot of times guys forget where they came from and they forget the struggles. He hasn't. He'll play video games, whatever. He didn't care if you're drafted in the seventh round, not drafted at all. He's authentic. And guys do pick up on that. As Patrick said, even Brady said, hey, guys will notice that. Guys will spot authenticity between their quarterbacks. They know who's a real one and who's not. Who to play for, who to run through that wall for, they spot it right away. They know if you're a fake really quickly in that locker room. And he's not that type. I watched the Joe Montana documentary this past weekend, and I hadn't seen it before. It was filmed a couple years ago. It was on Peacock or whatever. And I was like, you know what? I'll watch this. Because I always liked Joe Montana when he became a Chief and all that. And you hear all the great stories about how much people liked him. You talk to his, you know, some of his former teammates, and which I've done through the years. You know, hey, what'd you learn from Joe? And almost to a man, they come back to being authentic. You know, Neil Smith talked about, you know, Neil Smith had that baseball bat he'd swing, or he would simulate it on the field, but he carried a baseball bat around with him. Montana stole it just to have fun with him and put a ransom note on the 50-yard line. Like, he messed with him. And in training camp in River Falls, it was Joe Montana would grab the lineman, head down the Bozeman Mine, and you name it, in River Falls to drink beer with his lineman. He was just a dude, man. That's why Joe was successful, because guys bought into who he was, that he wasn't too good for them. And some of these quarterbacks think they're too good for their teammates. They think they're too good for their team. And guys spot that right away. And that's one thing Mahomes has going for him. And I love that fact that he was talking about that with Brady. Be authentic, because guys can spot that almost immediately. So regardless, that Montana series is actually pretty good. But you got to wait till like episode 5 for the Chiefs stuff. You got to wait all that, because a lot of Notre Dame stuff with Joe and everything else. But cut from the same cloth, where guys respect you and you got to be authentic. So anyway, that's Mahomes there. More of what Mahomes said, because I think some of it, again, you hear a lot of coach speak and stuff like that, but there were some things he said that I think they were pretty noteworthy. You could tell where this guy's focus is. And as I said, I think the revenge tour, vengeance tour, scorched earth philosophy is coming for the Kansas City Chiefs. But coming up next, one all-star that didn't make it on the all-star team that you think, why isn't this guy on the team? We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
For the first time in a long time, I'm willing to dream that this can be a special season for the Missouri Tigers.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Welcome back. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, Carrington back with you tomorrow on assignment today. Royals All-Star bids. Is it bad, Rob, that you're sitting here thinking about All-Star snubs, or is it? Or are we kind of past that now?
I think you should be thinking. I mean, I think it's front of mind because the All-Star voting came out yesterday.
I get it. Sorry, but I mean, does it make or break what you think about this team? Because it used to be that way. Back when this team wasn't, you know, going to the playoffs and things like this, is the only thing you had to hang your hat on, remember? Remember when Hosmer hit that home run in the All-Star game? You're like, oh, it's something to hang your hat on, right? Something to hang your hat on for the Royals. I don't look at it like that when it comes to the Royals. Bobby Witt Jr., yes. I mean, if he's not in the All-Star game, that's a travesty. That is. And with Chris Bubich making the team, I think if a pitcher doesn't make the team, the All-Star team for the Royals, that doesn't define who would want this team is. When you look back at historically, you think about how good this team is because of this pitching staff. I think if a Royals pitcher doesn't make the All-Star game, it's blatant disrespect. It's disrespect because that's one of the best pitching units in Major League Baseball. It's what's kept this team alive. Again, they're fourth in team ERA. The starters are third in the American League. Just the relievers, fourth in the American League. They deserve somebody there. But the Mikel Garcia comments get thrown out there a lot. Now, he's played some at shortstop. Obviously, he's played third base more than anything. He's played in the outfield as well. Mikel Garcia has been a breath of fresh air. I like how he approaches the game. I like the way that he plays. But right now, you know, he's hitting .303. He's got 8 home runs, 39 RBI. Listen, the guy's been incredible. But Alex Bregman has been hurt. And Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox, thinks he'll, you know, be back maybe sometime this week. So what I mean is, here's the thing too, Rob. Like, if he comes back this week for the Red Sox, do I think he'd actually play in the All-Star game? I don't. I think they'll be replacing that because I don't think he would do that. In a game that doesn't matter to anything, Rob, like there's nothing on the line at all for the Red Sox. I don't see, even if he plays this week, and I know he's an All-Star at this point, I'm not sure he plays in it, Rob. It looks great on his Wikipedia page that he's an All-Star this year. That's fine, but I don't think he plays. I think Mikel gets in there.
I do think he'll eventually end up in there because of Bregman's injury.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that Bregman is in over Garcia should really frustrate Royals fans. And I have a sense of frustration with it back here because it is, I understand the Royals are not living up to expectations. I understand the offense has been bad in 2025, but that is not the fault of Mikel Garcia. And if you want to tell me it's because of injury, fine. Mikel Garcia leads all third basemen in Major League Baseball on average, which is the exact reason why Bobby Witt isn't the shortstop for the AL, because Jack Wilson has a better average.
So Mikel Garcia, 100% is average.
Mikel Garcia didn't get that kiss. And I looked it up. Mikel Garcia is second among third basemen in OPS, which I'm a big OPS guy. Uh-huh. On base plus slug, two pretty important stats. The only person better is Jose Ramirez, who is trending toward a Hall of Fame-like career. So
he's the best of the best, no question.
Mikel Garcia is not a starter. Cool. Jose Ramirez is in the AL. I get it. But Alex Bregman in over Mikel Garcia is just a travesty. Because this is not Alex Bregman from 2017, 2018, where he's pounding the cover off the ball because he hears the trash can being banged. This is a hurt version of him in Boston. And Garcia should have made the All-Star game over Bregman. Now, you're right. The wrong might be righted just by Bregman's injury, and I assume Garcia will get in if he elects not to play, but still.
I think that was an odd to who and what he is. I think that's 100% an odd. He's in the club.
And what my frustration is we're going to give the nod because he's in the club to Alex Bregman. We didn't seem to do that with Bobby Witt Jr., who a year ago was second in the MVP and a no-doubt all-star. So it seems like the lines are blurred on what is and isn't an all-star among the AL people. So that is my frustration. And I'm surprised more Royals fans aren't frustrated by Mikel Garcia watching the all-star game from at home this year as opposed to in Atlanta.
Why do you think that is? I'm just curious. Is it because fans at this point, they look at the standings, see 14 games back from the Tigers. They haven't lived up to expectations. They don't score runs. Why do you think that is? Like, I think there would have been some outrage if Bobby's not on that team. I don't know if it would have been full-scale outrage, you know, from Royals fans. Should they have been mad? Yeah. But Mikel Garcia, I get it, man. The guy's been a stud. And just like Rob said with OPS and everything else in that average, if we make the argument that the average matters, well, you know, why doesn't his average matter more than a guy like Bobby or something like that? I don't – the way with Garcia is – I look at the Royals' record, and I'm okay with them having two All-Stars, I guess, because, I mean, how many Royals really deserve to be in there at this point because of the season? Do they deserve a hitter in there? 100%. Give Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby Witt Jr. deserves to be an All-Star. I mean, guy leads Major League Baseball in doubles. He's, what, fourth in stolen bases. The power strokes coming back for Bobby. I mean, Bobby's starting for Team USA in baseball. I get it. Chris Bubich, to me, I'm okay with him going to the All-Star game. He should be in the All-Star game. He's been an All-Star this year for this team. And the Royals deserve – I guess if the Royals were just going to get two, would he deserve to go in over Chris Bubich, do you think? If the commissioner says, you know what, let's put Garcia in there and not Bubich. I think that would have been more of an outrage, to be honest with you, Rob, not having a pitcher from the staff.
I mean, I don't think the two are mutually exclusive, though. I agree with you. I'd have been more frustrated by no pitcher over Mikel, but they should have gotten both. They should have gotten Chris Bubich. He was extremely deserving. They should have gotten Bobby Witt, and they should have gotten Mikel Garcia. Like, there are some people who believe that Carlos Estevez was a snub. I don't really believe that because I think outside of saves, statistically, he has not been one of the, you know, top-end relievers in the AL. He's been good, don't get me wrong, but he hasn't been, like, the best of the best in the AL. So I don't call him a snub. I don't even think he's even the best player in the Royals bullpen. But Mikel Garcia watching from Atlanta, watching at home and not being in Atlanta is 1,000% a snub.
I think he does end up getting there. It's besides the point. We're talking about snubs or not snubs. I look at the Royals and where they sit and think, okay, what kind of argument can you really make? Now, if they're in first place, sure, you make that argument. But I'm looking at a team that's sitting 14 games back from the Tigers. At this point, I think, okay, I'm happy that one hitter's there. I'm happy, definitely happy you got a pitcher there because they deserved it. Did they deserve other players? Probably so. 100% they did. But as far as did they get it right?
Do you think the fact the Royals offense is so bad that's why fans aren't more upset with Mikel Garcia? Like,
I think so. Because if the Royals were in first, there would be screaming from the rafters.
I don't even think they need to be in first. I just think if the offense was respectable. But I think the fact the offense is so bad, it's hard for fans to wrap their brain around, hey, the offense is bad, we need a second offensive player in the All-Star game. But in reality, the offensive issues are not the fault of Michael Garcia, and he should be an All-Star. But I think the overarch, the umbrella of bad offense has created fans to be a little bit apathetic toward Garcia not making it, which I get, because the offense has been just terrible this season. There's no way around it, but he is the actual bright spot, and I wonder why. I'm not talking about baseball. I'm talking about why Royals fans aren't more mad, because I didn't see any clamoring on social media, whereas Michael, it was kind of just ho-hum, they got there too. It seemed surprising to me.
You know, as far as Bobby, too, I mean, we got to remember this, too. That was the commissioner doing that. That wasn't the players and managers vote, that two-thirds of the vote. That wasn't, obviously, people voting on that. The commissioner had stood to put Bobby in there, which I think that's really a travesty, to be honest with you, as far as the game, where the game stands with people. I think that speaks volumes, the fact that the commissioner had to do it and not Bobby Wood Jr. But as we mentioned earlier, Rob, the preseason Big 12 polls out for the first team all Big 12. Any surprises? Sam Levitt is the quarterback. No surprises for me on that. He deserves it. Arizona State's quarterback should be Sam Levitt. That should be your first team all Big 12 quarterback.
I mean, I don't disagree. I like Sam Levitt a lot. But if Sam Levitt's the best quarterback in the conference, the conference might be in a little bit of trouble this upcoming season.
It's
like
much different than last year.
I mean, Sam Levitt's really good, and I think the conference has a lot of strong quarterback play, but I don't think they have the one elite guy. Like, you look at the SEC. They got two, maybe three, four elite-level quarterbacks. I trust the depth in the Big 12 better, but that's not how we judge these things. I have no problem with him being preseason offensive player of the year. It feels odd that Sam Levitt is that choice. I mean, I watched a lot of Arizona State last year. I never thought to myself, man, Sam Levitt's really making plays and spinning it. I really felt like it was Cam Scataboo.
Scataboo.
I guess he's preseason all Big 12. I mean, whatever, but I don't know. That's more of an indictment on the league than anything to me.
Well, a few other players made it as well from this list. Bryce Foster of your Kansas Jayhawks makes it on the offensive line. Will Swanson gets thrown in there as a fullback / H-back. He's a tight end at Kansas State. He's thrown in there as far as all Big 12 team. Am I forgetting anybody else on this list from Kansas?
Austin Romine, yeah.
Austin Romine. But again, this stuff doesn't matter, because again, I said, you know, a couple years, well, it's been more than a couple years ago. It's probably right around when the Royals won in 15. Bill Snyder had his whole returning offensive line come back, and someone asked him a question like, that's got to be a thrill, right? And Bill's like, nah, I like competition. I like what competition brings. But regardless, Big 12 media days about to start. Looking forward to this. The newcomer of the year is Dampier on that. And as far as the Big 12 preseason, this is what you have so far at this point. So you say, you can deal with this. At least it's a lineman for Kansas, because that's where it's all built upon, the offensive line. Speaking of college football, did you see Urban Meyer start to make some headlines, Rob?
I feel like Urban Meyer likes to make headlines.
Urban Meyer loves headlines.
I feel like that's how he thrives. It's just, let's just be in the headline for saying things.
And here's the one thing about Herb, in what, he hadn't been head coach since, what, 2021, I think, the Jags, obviously his last run when he got an NFL. And he quickly realized the difference between college football and the NFL when he got to the Jags. It is a guy that's won three national titles. I mean, Urban Meyer knows what he's doing. But he does a podcast as well. Have you ever listened to Urban Meyer's podcast?
I see it pop up every once in a while on my Instagram, but I don't seek out Urban Meyer podcasts.
No, I don't either. But he does have one. And he had Jim Nagy on. You know Jim Nagy, right, from the Senior Bowl. He's the guy, he was the director of the Senior Bowl. Did a great job just really building this thing up. All right, matter of fact, Jim Nagy, when you think about prospects and everything, wasn't that kind of the voice that you consider like one of the top voices in football as far as guys going to the next level? Because he was that scouting mindset that he has. Well, Jim's leaving the Senior Bowl, and he's now the GM of the Oklahoma Sooners. Like, he made that journey. Were you shocked at all that he would take a job like that as a GM in football?
Yes, I was shocked. But that's because if you would have asked me if he were to leave, I would thought he'd been an NFL GM. I also didn't think college GMs were going to be a thing 5, 6, 7 years ago. So it's surprising, but I'm also surprised by the state of college athletics. So there's a lot of evolving and, you know, opening my brain to things like that that I have to adjust to.
But here's the one thing. You've seen NBA players. The current NBA players, they're going back as, quote, the GM of their college
teams.
They're
all assistant GM. Yeah, yeah. Like Trae Young in Oklahoma. Yeah, yeah. I think there's another one I'm forgetting. But you're assistant GM and you do no work.
But you need the GMs. We see the more – Max Crosby does a lot at Eastern Michigan, right? He's like one of those guys that kind of in that. But anyway, supposedly Herb was offered a job as a GM for a college team. Now, he won't say what it is, Rob. He said he met with somebody and he took phone calls as well, but we don't know which teams it was. And he was talking to Jim. He says, okay, what's the job description? Well, basically, you meet with all the agents of 17 and 18-year-olds, and I thought, and this is what Herb thought, I'd rather step on a rusty nail and pull it out myself. I mean, what in the world? If that's what you got to do, Jim, talking about Jim Nagy, God bless you, go do it. Like, I actually understand that part, too. That's got to be the frustration, doesn't it? When you're actually sitting down with agents of 17 and 18-year-olds, right? When you're sitting down with their agents, what are you going to promise our guy? The college football world is much different. That kind of – what Urban's saying there, you got to know that's what it is. It's like Nick Saban got out of it. He was still part of Neil there at the end, but it wasn't wild about that. Remember, in Dabo Sweeney at Clemson, as great as coach he was – he didn't do any transfer portals last year. Matter of fact, he's, you know, in the playoffs. Outside of the service academies like Air Force and Army and Navy that don't do the like, transfer portals, Clemson didn't have any. This year they've got them because they said, all right, this is the way the game's going to be played. That's what they do. Dabo Sweeney never liked nil, but he understands this is what it is. And if you don't like it, you better find another job because this is where we're going. But negotiating with 18-year-olds now, Rob, is just part of the deal, man. College football is just different, man. It is different than when you started here. When I would talk college football, it is 100% different the way it is now as far as negotiating skill set. Hell, you saw UNLV lost their quarterback last year, remember, after beating Kansas? Because he was going to hit that threshold where he didn't get, quote, the money that he was supposed to get at UNLV, and he just up and left. And everybody thought, whoa, that was a shock to the system. But then more and more guys start doing that. They didn't want to burn a year. Of course, they won that 4 years or four games to still preserve their red shirt, and they bolted, man. Like, they bolted. Do you have any problems with Urban saying this? Because, like, I totally understand what he's saying. Like, I get it for old-school coaches like that. I get it, but it's just different, man. Like, the day and age of finding a good GM in college football, that's where it's at.
I get why Urban is saying it, but I think Urban is off base, not in his assessment of doing it, but I think as college football continues to evolve, we have the revenue sharing, and you saw Texas Tech. They announced a contract for a recruit down at Texas Tech. He got a 3-year, was it $2.1 per million?
$55 million.
It was crazy. But as we enter this era, I think you're going to need to see more college programs adding a GM to the fold. Because do you know why it works in the NFL? It's because the person that negotiates your contract and the person that tells you to run a drill or you're on the bench are not the same person. And right now, college sports is experiencing that shift. It is difficult. I remember the quote was taken out of context, but I remember Eli Drinkwitz last year, SEC Media Days, yeah, said something to the effect of, you know, it's tough sometimes locker room. You have guys making more money than me. I get his point. If you're in the recruiting trail, you're negotiating a contract, and then on Saturday you realize, oh, this guy ain't it, it's going to feel like dirty pool. So you need that intermediary. Ask Andy Reid. At the end of his time in Philadelphia, I don't think Andy Reid enjoyed being the general manager. I think he enjoyed being the head football coach, which is why he's the head coach here and not the general manager. Bill Belichick, he hired a GM, by
Michael
the way.
Lombardi, NFL guy.
Yeah, he hired a GM in North Carolina. I don't think he enjoyed general managing the New England Patriots. I know Bill O'Brien, who's now in college, has a GM at Boston College. I don't think he enjoyed being GM at Houston. So I get where Urban's coming from if you're viewing it like it's 2007, but college programs need a general manager because then your, you know, for local, Kleiman, Drinkwitz, Leipold can coach on Saturday, and if a player's upset with his contract, they go to a different office on Monday. It can't be, coach, you promised me 60% of the snaps, and then you have to go in his office and be like, well, you actually aren't as good as we thought. Like, it's just you need an intermediary there. And I think college sports is accepting that evolution. And shockingly enough, Urban Meyer is late to the game and wrong in his comments.
But this is the way it's going. And they're the good guy, or a lot of times they're the bad guy as far as GMs are concerned to college football. But you better have one, because if you don't, you're not going to win. I mean, just a different game. As I said a couple years ago, the difference between a college football coach and an NFL coach, that line has never been more similar. And these NFL guys that go into college football and they run the department, it's different now. Because it used to be, all right, what recruits we're going to bring in? It was the recruiting was one side, and then you may hit the JUCO. What are guys doing down at Hutch JUCO or whatever? Do we want to bring them in and get good? Nowadays, it's high school seniors or juniors you're watching at a point. They're on your radar. Then the transfer portal builds your team up like that. That's why we see the Heisman Trophy ceremony loaded with guys that have hit the transfer portal in the past. So you have the transfer portals, and then you've got – it's basically just like the NFL as far as free agency, the draft, the different departments you need. Well, for colleges, it's the seniors in high school, the 3 stars, 4 stars, whatever on arrivals. It's those guys, and then it's what transfer portal guys we can bring in here to be good. But I thought that was interesting what Urban Meyer said. But you know what? Welcome to the real world. He didn't want to do it. He's not going to dabble in it. It's a big reason why guys that were old school that won their way won't go back into coaching, because it is a completely different ball game. Coming up next, though, countdown to kickoff is the Chiefs. The countdown's beginning to Sao Paulo.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
The Fan. The NFL season is fast approaching. With kickoff under 100 days away.
Harrison Butker set to kick it off. The run-up. Butker's kick in Super Bowl 58 is underway in a high, deep, spinning kick.
The Drive gives you an NFL thought every day from now until the start of the season. It's the countdown to kickoff.
Getting close, Rob. Getting very, very close. I mentioned we have NFL football this month. And that's a storyline in and of itself. I think with the NFL coming back, we're what's sitting here. It's 2 weeks from tomorrow. The Chiefs' first practice in St. Joe. 2 weeks.
Who even is the Hall of Fame game this year? I don't even know.
The Colts are in it. And what, the Steelers are in it?
I legitimately do not know.
I think so.
I thought it was Chargers and Lions, if you asked me randomly.
See, I thought it was the Colts. I could be wrong.
The Hall of Fame game is the ultimate tease to me.
Oh, I remember when they canceled it a few years ago?
Mm-hmm. And because the field's in bad shape?
Yeah, they brought in some turf, I think, from New Orleans, and that was it was canceled. But it'd be the Lions and the Chargers.
There you go.
It's the Lions and Chargers.
All right, Bing, today's countdown.
But none of them play it, though, because no. They don't want to play that. It's because, quote, that is an extra preseason game, and they just won three.
Yeah. All right, Bing, today's countdown to kickoff question is very, very simple. As we saw, you know, some possible turmoil between T.J. Watt and the Steelers, there are reports that teams are mulling trade offers for the elite pass rusher. Now, I am asking you, do you think T.J. Watt is actually available on the market, or do you think this is just all one big ploy to get more and more money from the Steelers? And if he is on the market, where do you think he will land?
Well, I think it is a ploy, and I think the Steelers are all in, and they know it's a short window. Obviously, with Rodgers, they understand it's an extremely short window, and I think they'll do everything in their power to keep a guy that basically is that team. He's the one that with the forced fumbles, the sacks, you name it, he means everything to the Steel City. I don't see him hitting the open market. I see him sitting there. I remember what Bob and Dusty, I think, asked me last week, would I rather have Trent McDuffie long-term or T.J. Watt? Who would I take? And I know Watt's, you know, at 30 years old now, he's getting to that point, but he's a game changer, man. That's a game record. I took T.J. Watt just because of the position. I think that not that the shutdown corners aren't specialized, but I consider them one of the top four positions, but I consider edge rusher right above there. But I think he's a Pittsburgh Steeler, and I think that that situation will be calmed down. We see this all the time, Rob, but don't you see the Steelers making this thing work? I mean, that's their dude. That's the guy. That's the fan favorite. That's their guy. He will be, again, it's a short window for Pittsburgh until they draft that quarterback next year.
You said it perfectly at the end there. Now, listen, they might not get a long-term deal done. I don't know. I'm not in Pittsburgh, but it would stun me if they move T.J. Watt before the season.
Well, I would be completely stunned.
What about their moves have indicated that they're thinking about the future? Aaron Rodgers, Jonnu Smith, Jalen Ramsey. This isn't exactly
DK
Metcalf. This isn't exactly a young man's team. Like this is a team geared up for the now. You're gonna spend all offseason telling me you're all in on the now, only to turn around and trade your best pass rusher for the picks, because he would probably get bigger than this, but a Khalil Mack type of haul after the draft. It just the whole thing is nonsensical to me. I think they eventually get something worked out, but even if they don't, T.J. Watt's on the Steelers in week one. They're not trading him.
He will be. You understand, though, Pittsburgh, they have 12 draft picks next year, including 3 third-round picks. The draft next year is in Pittsburgh. And if people are wondering what Pittsburgh's going to do, they're going to draft a quarterback. They didn't this year. They did. They got Will Howard, the former K-State guy, of course, from Ohio State. But that's not it. They know it's not it. That's not the answer. But when you think of 12 picks and the 3 third-rounders, yeah, Pittsburgh has the draft next year in the Steel City. They will take their quarterback in the first round when that draft is in Pittsburgh. So, yes, I'm looking at everything the Steelers do now for that one shot. You don't go out and sign a guy like Aaron Rodgers when you know that's a one-year deal. It is a one-year deal, technically. It's what it is. But that's what it is. It's that one-year window of having Aaron Rodgers. They're going to do everything they can to win now. The future starts for Pittsburgh in the draft in Pittsburgh next year.
And, I mean, it's connecting college football to, you know, the draft. Boy, is next year's quarterback draft crop deep.
Oh, it's much different than this year.
There's Nussmeier. There's Manning. There's, we mentioned Sam Levitt earlier in the show. There's, I really like Lenora Sellers. Like, I'm a big Lenora Sellers fan. It's a little bit under the radar.
I like Lenora's too.
I'm a huge Lenora Sellers guy. I'll be buying a lot of Lenora Sellers stock. Drew Aller.
Aller's a stud.
What's the kid at Clemson? Cade, is it Kublak? Is that his name?
Cade Klubnik. But Aller's so good. That's why Probeula's in Missouri, yeah, right? That's why he jumped to the transfer portal, because correct, Aller's coming back.
I right there off the top of my head, boom, named six quarterbacks who could be first-round picks. That doesn't include guys who I think are good college quarterbacks that could be picked
Carson
as well.
Carson Beck will be a second-rounder. He's Nico a guy. Will probably be a second-rounder.
Miller Moss, I know he transferred out of USC this year. He's a guy that was very coveted in the portal. He's
John Mateer, yeah, at Oklahoma.
John Mateer, like, it's a great quarterback class next year. So yeah, the Steelers are all in on this year, and then they're all in on the rebuild in 2026.
Are you 100% saying Arch Manning over Nussmeier?
No, I think Nussmeier.
I think Nussmeier will make a challenge, but I think Arch will probably be, he's the leader in the clubhouse.
I really think it depends on who gets the number one overall pick.
But he didn't beat up Quinn Ewers. I mean, that says a lot.
Like, let's say the Saints get the number one overall pick and they keep their current regime. Do you know who the offensive coordinator is of the Saints? It's Nussmeier's dad. Yeah. So, like, it's really hard for them to maybe pass up on Nussmeier and the nepotism there. So I think it's one of those two guys, number one overall. But like I said, we just named seven quarterbacks who could be first-round talents in 2026.
Hey, man, I like Arch and what he does, and I love when he's filling in there for Ewers. I mean, the guy has legs to run unlike other Mannings. But here's the thing, though. If you can't beat out Quinn Ewers, which, by the way, if Quinn Ewers went in the first round this year, you're like, it's first-round quarterback. Quinn Ewers goes in the seventh round to the Dolphins. Seventh round pick, 231. Like it's not exactly like he was beating out a first-round pick. Quinn Ewers had the acumen to be a first-round quarterback, but he wasn't, because we saw how bad he threw. You go back and watch Xavier Worthy when he was at Texas. He had to sit there and wait on the ball that Quinn Ewers delivered. So, yeah, but this year's quarterback class is going to be ridiculous. This is where Pittsburgh makes their move and gets their quarterback of the future. That's exactly what Pittsburgh is doing with Aaron Rodgers. Coming up next, though, we'll take a look. Vern said something very interesting today, as he always does, talking about, is it time to keep or is it time to sell? Where are we at with the Kansas City Royals? Vern had a great opinion earlier today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.